But if you do it, if you do it when she prays, then.
Well, the clock is ticking now.
Yeah.
Is it? We're already live?
Live right now.
So this is on my time.
Well, yeah.
No.
You're 15 seconds into your time.
All right. All right. You ready?
Amen. Chick to your left.
All right. Shalom, everybody, and all of S4C here in the building. Thank you so much for being here. It's always nice to preach to people instead of imagining you're there. And then, so let's pray in, and then we're going to get started with this incredible Bible study I call the Carrie Oates Bible Study.
Carrie Oates.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I have a 30-second, not even 20-second commercial because.
Go ahead.
He's going to give me. So this book right here, Pastor Ben mentioned it in prayer. This is for free.
Okay.
It's just one-on-one.
I'll be Vanna White.
Bible study information, just the need to know, and we're happy to send it to you. We also have anointed oil and tallit that we will give you for free. Please contact us. We're happy to send it out. We have an abundant stock right now to give out, and we just want to make sure that you are aware of the resources that we have for you for free. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right.
All right, let's pray.
Pray us in, babe.
Good job.
Thank you. Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence, dear Lord. We thank you for your healing power, dear Jesus, that you continue to touch us, dear Lord, giving us life, dear Lord, and life more abundantly. So I pray right now, dear Lord, for Pastor Sandy and this exciting message he has for us, dear Lord. He is ready, dear Lord, through your Holy Spirit to blow us away. And so we came with that expectation in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We ask, dear Lord, that you continue to fill his cup, dear Jesus, as he shares the word with us, dear Lord. Mm-hmm. Let it be purified by your Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Let us have ears and a heart to receive it on this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Now, the pressure. Okay.
Pastor, you are live.
All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman. Elohim Tov.
All right. God is good all the time. I want to introduce something to you guys. And jokingly, I kind of said this is the Carrie Oates Bible study because Carrie is one of our members. And she called me twice, and it took me a day to give her a call back. But when I called her back, she wanted to ask me a question. She said, did Lazarus get brought from the dead on the 4th of Hanukkah? And I said, I don't know, but if I find out he did, I'll definitely call you back. So I studied it, got into the word and really studied it. And I went, oh, my good, Lazarus was brought from the dead on the 4th of Hanukkah. And I like, now my question is why? Because the 4th of Hanukkah is, hey, Zach, could you give me that picture off the wall? Yeah, just snatch it off there.
No.
Sorry, football talk. So, thank you very much, Zach. Appreciate it. All right, now, this is my sample. So, the going this side to this side, because that's the Hebrew. So, Aleph, Bet, Gamel, delete the center lamp is where the oil is, right? So all of the lamps get their anointing from the center lamp, which is delete, which means the door, okay? So Aleph, Bet, Gamel, delete. So the center lamp is the, now this lamp would be the fourth day of Hanukkah, okay? Mm-hmm. Now I'm doing this from a church menorah because the Jews have a Hanukkah menorah, which they have four on this side and four on that side. And then they have the center, which they like to eat with. Okay. So anyway, the fourth is always delete, though. It's the door. So the fourth of Hanukkah has always been 40 days after the anniversary of the flood, of the flood beginning. So, I mean, of the flood, let me see, make sure that I'm saying it right. The 17th of Heshvan. The 17th of Heshvan is the day when grace is supposed to end, right?
Right.
Exactly 40 days after that is the fourth day of Hanukkah. Now, was it at the time of the flood? No, because there was no Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine that God was always planning 40 days after the 17th of Heshvan would be the fourth day of Hanukkah? Because it would be the door, okay? Because that would represent the day of the door. So I want you guys to get that understanding in your head is this. The 17th of Heshvan is the day that we were all looking for.
Right.
Then we had Daniel Manson came and said, hey, well, actually, the boat was still on the earth on the 17th of Heshvan. It didn't rise above the earth until after the 40 days of flood. Then it went up 15 cubits. And then now it was above all of the mountains. And that's when the boat was finally above the earth. OK. Mm-hmm. Now, 40 days later would be the fourth day of Hanukkah. OK, so the question was, is the fourth day? Why would God resurrect Lazarus on the fourth day of Hanukkah, which is coming up? If we look at the board, we'll see that November 4th was our fraud election. Can you say fraud on YouTube? Okay. The 4th of November was our fraud election. And the December 14th is the day they confirm who the president is. Okay. So, and that's a 40-day gap. The 17th of Hanukkah was this day. But on this day, on the December 14th, 13th, and 14th, will also be the fourth day of Hanukkah. Okay, so Hanukkah is, we'll see how important it is. Okay, let's begin our Bible study today in the book. Wow. Okay, I'm gonna kind of stick with the way the Lord gave it to me. Okay, so what I want to do as you marinate on the fact that 40 days after the 17th of Heshvan is the fourth day of Hanukkah. Okay, just marinate on that fact. Who was called from the grave on the fourth day of Hanukkah then? Who was called? Lazarus. It was Lazarus was in the grave, and Jesus came there, and when Jesus got there, he called Lazarus, and Lazarus came forth out of the dead back into the land of the living, right?
Right.
I want you to understand that as we go forth. I want us, first of all, to go to Genesis chapter 15. Because these are some things you have to understand and know. 40 days is very important to God.
Yeah.
You know, it was Moses who went up on the mountain on the first of Elul and then came back down on the 10th of Tishri on Yom Kippur, and it was 40 days.
Yeah.
It was Jesus who fasted for 40 days. 40 days is the number of testing or being in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 is a time of testing. So when 40 happens, that means something now has to happen, okay? So this is why it's very important for us to know that 40 days after the 17th of Heshvan is the fourth day of Hanukkah, which is coming up. Hanukkah first will be the 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th, and then you'll have the fourth day of Hanukkah. Okay? So, I want to do a great job. And let's go to Genesis chapter 15. Are you there already? Okay. Now, it says, I was in 16. It says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? Abraham said, you have given me no son. So Eleazar is there, and Eleazar is going to inherit everything in Abram's house because he has no son yet. Eleazar in the Hebrew means the helper or God's helper. Okay. Now, I want to explain to you something before we even get to John chapter 10. Lazarus is just a Greek derivative of the name Eleazar. Lazarus is Eleazar. They both mean God's helper.
Really?
You understand? So when Jesus gets to the grave and he calls out the name, he's calling out the name of the restrainer.
Wow.
Come on.
Wow.
To be removed and bring forth the dead.
I get it.
Do you understand?
I get it.
So we got to go through this because God's been like, I've been doing numbers and everything. My brain is like tapped. But I've been trying to like dig to the very bottom of this because I want to know, why did God, when the flood happened, say, and then the flood lasted for 40 days, okay? So the flood lasts for 40 days. And then at the end of the 40 days, the boat is now above the water, fully above the earth, but it has to go up 15 cubits before it's fully above the earth, okay? So Eleazar and Lazarus is the same name, okay? Now, since you got that, I don't want to have to go to Genesis 24, which Abraham tells Lazarus, my son, whom Abraham has just done what? He was going to sacrifice his son. He went on a three-day journey. At the end of the three-day journey, God told him, don't sacrifice your son. He gets his son back on the third day. And then now, Abraham goes back home. And then he talks to the top guy in his house, Eleazar, and he says, I need you to do something for me. I need you to go to a land where my people are and get my son a bride. So Eleazar's job, God's helper, because Jesus said, when I go away, I will not leave you like orphans. I will send you a helper, right? Mm-hmm. So God is going to send us the helper, which is the Holy Spirit. So God plays off of this Eleazar name many times in the Bible to show you the role of the Holy Spirit. So Eleazar goes and he finds a wife. He brings the wife back. She marries Isaac. And there you have the story of God telling the Holy Spirit to go to earth, bring back a bride for the son. Okay? This is the typology. So Eleazar is representing the Holy Spirit. There's no need to mention that. Well, we'll get back. We'll get back to that. Okay, let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Thank God for my new bookmarker. John 10. When you get to John chapter 10, you can say amen. Then I will get to reading. And I kind of like reading this from the New King James, but I'll replace the word gate that's inside of the NIV with the word door, because the Greek word is actually door. And we have a different idea when we think of a gate, right?
Right.
Okay. So this is Jesus talking. John chapter 10, verse 1. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the door, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Wow. Stop. I just saw something I studied a long time ago, and I wrote it down to make sure that I remember this. Now watch this. It says, the man who enters by the door is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. But when it says he calls his own sheep by name, is one name, and he leads them out, the word lead, they use perilambano, which means what? To take as a friend or a companion. It's the same word as one will be taken, the other one left. Okay? So he's completely talking about, I'm the door. The sheep belong to me. When it comes time for me to lead them out, I will call out. He says, I will call the name. I will call them by name. But he says, he doesn't say I will call them by names. I will call them by name. He's going to say one word, because one word is a restrainer that is responsible for what? The sheep, that no one can go anywhere till the restrainer goes. Okay? But it says, when I call them out, it says, I perilambano them out. It uses the word perilambano, means to lead them as out as a friend or a companion. So it uses the exact word for taken, which is the rapture. Okay? So he says, he calls his own by name and leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the door for the sheep. You hear that?
Yes.
I am the door for the sheep. I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 4 just to read this real fast. Revelation chapter 4. Now, what's the fourth?
The door.
The door. If God did this, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go, you are bad. That was awesome. 40 days of, you planned the fourth day of Hanukkah all the way back at the flood. You're a bad dude. I mean, like black bad. Now watch this. It says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a door. Who just said, I'm the door? Standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this, after the church is gone. So Jesus in chapter 10 is talking about what? I'm the door. And when I call the name, what name? Come forth. And when he comes forth, who's he bringing with him? All those who belong to Jesus Christ. Okay? But he's got to come, because now, if I continue reading down here, he says, if you die in Christ, you will live. And if you believe in me, even though if you believe in me, you will never die. Mm-hmm. So he gives a reference to those that died before and in him, they're going to come, and those who are living for him, they are going to come in John chapter 10 and 11. But let's go back to John chapter 10. I just wanted you to see that in chapter 4, he's letting you know this whole thing about chapter 10 is about the door. Let's go back to John. Hallelujah. Okay. We're at 7 now. Let's go directly to chapter 10. We're still in chapter 10. Let's go to verse 22. Now, I have to tell you something. Hanukkah is not one of the feast days. And if it was not for this particular verse in the scripture, Hanukkah would never be even mentioned in the whole Bible.
Wow.
So the Lord takes out this opportunity to tell you about Hanukkah, which is the Feast of Dedication. Now, if you read this, you go, it was the Feast of Dedication, and Jesus was, wait a minute, out of all the seven feasts, there's no Feast of Dedication. If as a Christian, you would have to go back, you would have to read the Apocrypha and Deuteronomy to read about the Maccabean brothers and the revolt and winning back the temple and rededicating the temple back to God. You would have to go back to find out what Hanukkah was about. You would have to find that they found inside of the temple a menorah lamp, but only enough oil to light the lamp for one night. Yet it stayed on, the oil lasted for 8 days. And so they called this the Feast of Dedication, or they called it Hanukkah, which is the name Enoch, who was also taken up, right? This is a good book. So as God is writing this, he's planning the future, right? Okay. We're in John, and we're in chapter 2. Now watch this. It gives this important information, only time in scriptures. It says, then came the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter. Now you're like, wait a minute, what's the Feast of Dedication? Oh, that's Hanukkah. We're in the wintertime. Okay? Remember, it starts December 11th. And Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. We'll do a little Bible study here. Okay? And it says, the Jews gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, you did not believe. The miracles I do, my Father's name speaks for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to me, to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And oh, by the way, my Father and I are one. He didn't say by the way, but he wants them to know. I'm sitting here talking about my Father. I don't want you to get any ideas that me and my Father are not one. Okay? So, and it says, again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? And listen to what the Pharisee says. We are not stoning you for any of those, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Jesus was claiming to be God. Do you understand that? The reason they wanted to kill him every time they wanted to stone him is because Jesus made a statement. Rather, through Jewish culture or understanding, the Pharisees knew this guy's calling himself God. Even when he said, you know, I am, right? And he said, before Abraham was. He's like, don't say it. Don't say it. They probably already have the rocks in their hands. Before Abraham was. getting in a running stance because he knows they're going to try to get him. He says, before Abraham was, I am. And they went, there's no more need to, let's stone him. They want to kill him after that. Every time Jesus claims he's God, they want to kill him because they should already know that he's God, because they know that the Messiah is coming into the world, okay? And that he's going, they don't understand his suffering first and then coming back again. Okay, but let's continue on. Now, you're still here, we're still here, let's go. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, it is not written. I don't want to read that portion. I want to read verse 36. It says, what about the ones who the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse them of blasphemy because I say I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do what the Father does. But if I do, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Again, they replied, seize him, but he escaped. He escaped their grasp. Now, where was Jesus during this conversation? He was at Solomon's court in Jerusalem. Okay? He's at Solomon's court in Jerusalem. This whole conversation is going on in Solomon's court in Jerusalem. What is Solomon's court? Solomon's court is an area that all of the believers used to meet and listen to the word of God, okay? Even after Jesus went back, you would see in the book of Acts, they always met at Solomon's court, and they would, and that's where, so Jesus had preached here many times. Okay, now, if you go to chapter 11, listen what it says. It says, now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus had now laid sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord on his feet and on the Lord's feet and wiped it with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Where's Jesus? He's in Jerusalem. He's at Solomon's court. So that means Jesus is going to have to leave where he is to go to Bethany to resurrect Lazarus. Stay with me. Okay. When he heard this, Jesus says, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. And her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard Lazarus was sick, He stayed where he was for two more days. So he knows that Lazarus is sick in Bethany, but he stays where he's at for two more days, okay? Now, it says, then he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there? Jesus answered, there are 12 hours of a day. A man who walks in the day will not stumble, for he sees that this world, he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks in the night that he stumbles, for he has no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he is asleep, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but the disciples thought he was talking about natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, they're on their way to Bethany. Let's stop. What is Bethany? What does it mean? Bethany is called the house of unripe figs. Okay? It said the house of dates, but it doesn't mean dates like, because I remember we had a fig tree in our backyard when I was a kid. And if I took them off, my mom would say, don't take the dates off the tree. Wait till the figs are full grown. So, but it's called the house. Bethany is called the house of unripe figs, meaning that the figs are not ready. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Okay. Is a village located east of the slope of the Mount of Olives, about 1.5 miles from Jerusalem, or 15 furlongs. It was called also the House of Misery on account of the situation that the invalids, people who couldn't walk or had problems, sicknesses, used to congregate there. So, Jesus leaves Jerusalem and he's in the house of God. He's in the city of peace and he's in the house of God. He leaves there to go back to where they tried to kill him, to a city called Unripe Figs. Who's the fig tree?
Israel.
Are they ready for God when Jesus comes? No. So he's going back to a place where the figs aren't ready yet. When he gets there, he goes to Bethany, and Bethany is not only called unripe figs, it's called the place of misery. People who need healing hang out there. So he's going back to earth where the figs aren't quite ready, but people need healing. And what is he going for? He's going there on the 4th of Hanukkah to call out a name to bring the dead out of the grave. So here is a prophecy and typology that God is giving you about his whole trip to Bethany, but he doesn't get there to call out just anyone. He doesn't get there because nobody ever looks up like, what does Lazarus mean? Lazarus means the helper. It is, or God's help. And it's the same as Eleazar of the Old Testament, which is the Holy Spirit, who was sent to get a bride. And here now, Jesus, now, in Revelation chapter 4, when Jesus comes to the door and the trumpet sound will call something. What will the trumpet sound cause? Let's go to Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll go back there. Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Now watch this, because this is what the Lord wanted me to know. The Holy Spirit is in the world for a reason. The Holy Spirit is not going to leave without the bride. But the Holy Spirit is also not going to leave until the one who's at the door calls him up. Then he'll bring the bride with him. But he's not going to leave until he hears the trumpet, the same as we hear the trumpet. But he's going to call out the name. And the Holy Spirit will take all of those who are dead in Christ up first, out of the grave to the land of the living. Okay? So, let's look at this. In Thessalonians, it says, chapter 2, it says in verse 3, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until a departure happens. Apostasia. Until a departure happens and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man who is doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back. That's that Greek word for the restrainer. We now know what's holding him back. And what's holding him back? The restrainer. Now, I went through that numerical value, and I did not know why God wanted me to go through that, but I had to know that the restrainer is completely linked to the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit taking us out of here is completely linked to the crowns you get when you get to heaven, because they all have the same numerical value, right? So I'm trying to make sure that what's holding them back is really the Holy Spirit. So when I did the numerical value, I went, oh my goodness, it is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so, and the Holy Spirit can't leave until the Father says it's time for the wedding. And once the Father says it's time for the wedding, someone has to come to the door and blow the trumpet and say, come up here. And then the dead will rise. Okay? So where's he going back to? He's going back to a place where the figs aren't ready. And people need healing. That's the land he's going back. Okay? So, now let's go back to John chapter 10, because we want to look at Lazarus' resurrection. Well, he doesn't get resurrected, but it's great typology because he actually gets brought from the dead. Okay? Lazarus probably like, call it what you want. For me, it was resurrection. I felt pretty good. So we're in 11, right? Okay, and we're in verse, since it's dead, and we're in verse 17. It says, on the arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Wait a minute. In chapter 10, it says, Jesus was in Jerusalem at Solomon's Colonnade, and it was the Feast of Dedication. So how long does the Feast of Dedication last? 8 days. 4 days later, you're just on the fourth day of the Feast of Dedication. So you see how God is setting this up. He's letting you know, first of all, I was there. I wasn't where they are. I came back. It took me 4 days when I finally got there. Okay. Now, but I want you to know that when I got word, it was the Feast of Hanukkah. Mm. It was the Feast of Dedication. So now here we are on the fourth day of Hanukkah, and he realized he's been in the grave for 4 days. Watch this. And it says he had been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was about 15 furlongs from Jerusalem.
Yeah.
It was 15 furlongs from Jerusalem, which means that nobody comes out of the grave until Jesus walks the whole 15 furlongs. I'm going to put my marker there because we have to come back. Let's go to Genesis chapter 7.
Mm.
Pastor Bimmy knowing where I'm going now. We've been together too long. We're like an old married couple.
I know, right?
Here we go. So here in here, I want to make sure. Oh, this is that. I had to get my King James, because sometimes the King James gets it right, and sometimes they get it wrong. Sometimes the NIV gets it right, and sometimes they get it wrong. So I just bounce back through the Hebrew, and whoever gets it right, that's the one I read. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So we're in, and it's chapter 11, and it says, on the very same day, Noah. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, okay? And it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, it's the 6,000th year, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, so now that is the beginning of this flood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Let me make sure. Okay, then it says, on that very same day, Noah and Noah's son Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and three sons were with them, into the ark. They and every beast of all kind, cattle of their kind, and every creeping thing on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, and every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to... Okay. I'm gonna skip down to verse 17. Now the flood was on the earth for 40 days, okay? The water increased, lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The water prevailed greatly, increasing on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the water. And the water prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heavens were covered, the cubits high, not completely above the earth. Because when I read about this in the book of, I think it was Jasher, and as the rain was coming down, it said 700,000 people came to the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And they yelled out to Noah, the water's getting consistently worse and worse. Open the door so that we can come in, or throw us a rope. Noah says, aren't you the same people who said that there's no God?
Mm-hmm.
And did not preach righteousness to you for 120 years and you did not listen? And now you want to repent? He says, I can't do it. But understand this. The flood had already started. Like I said before, the first day of the flood, nobody really panics.
Right.
I met a homeless guy. I was like, man, you don't even look homeless. He comes, it's my first day. But so he's like, give me some time, right? So it's the flood, but nothing's really going on because it don't, to them, it don't look like anything crazy. It's just like, okay, this is weird. Water's coming out of the sky. It's the first time it's done that. Noah told us about this, but it's just like rain. As a matter of fact, it's kind of fun. Mm. Second, third day, it hasn't stopped. This is getting kind of unbearable. Third, fourth day, fifth, sixth day, seventh, eighth day, 3 weeks, 2 weeks.
Mm.
Remember that boat? We got to get there because if we can get on, you know. So understand, until the boat was up 15 furlongs, they had not escaped. So the escape of the eight, seven churches and the head of the house, Jesus Christ and seven churches, Noah, head of the house, seven family members, will not be completely above the earth until after 15 furlongs. Lazarus will not get resurrected until Jesus walks what? 15 furlongs, but 15 cubits, 15 furlongs. So the both escapes, the resurrection and the boat being above, all happen in what? 15.
Yes.
Which is the word Semek, which is 120, which is 2020, blah, 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 blah. We could be here all day if we go through everything, right? But it's like all the proof that God is trying to give you, you're living in the last day. It's past the 6,000th year. It's past the 120th Jubilee. You're on early morning of the third day. Now you're seven, you've come to the 17th of Heshvan, and now do a 40-day count, and you'll come to the fourth day of Hanukkah, which Lazarus gets resurrected on the fourth day of Hanukkah, okay? He calls him out of the grave. Let's go back to John chapter 10. Pastor Ben gonna say, you out of time in a minute.
12 minutes.
Oh, good. Okay. Okay, are we in 11? I got to remember where. Okay, here it is. Okay. Bethany was less than 15 furlongs from Jerusalem, and many Jews, verse 18, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them at the loss of her brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. The Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whosoever lives and believes in me will never die. Did you just get that?
Yes, sir.
Did you get that he just said those who die in him will live and those who are living in him will live?
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
So he gave you both to let you know I'm in charge of both. You understand? So he says, even though they die, whosoever, he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whosoever lives and believes in me will never die. Wow. So if I'm living when he comes, I'll never die?
That's right.
Come on. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. After she said this, she went and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him, where the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her. Notice how quickly she got up and went out, and they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. The Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," okay? Because remember, the watchers have to open the door, and then when the watchers open the door, I will call out. You understand? He's just sticking with scripture. But the Lord said to Martha, the sister of the dead man, "By this time, there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Again, wanting to let you know that this is the fourth day of Hanukkah. Now, why aren't they talking about Hanukkah? Hanukkah is not a greatly celebrated thing at this time, but the scriptures let you know that Jesus at this time was there, and it was Hanukkah, okay? Because he wants to let you know this is the time when this event happened. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you hear me, and I know you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Eleazar, come forth." Now that is the name of the Holy Spirit. That is the name of the one who was sent here to get a bride for Christ. That is the one that has to be called out when the door opened and he's standing at the door saying, "Come up here." So he says, "Eleazar, come forth." It says, "Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit had seen what Jesus did, put their faith in him." Now, after he comes forth, he tells them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Now, we have not considered the fact that what you are wearing now can't go into real life.
Amen.
That what you're wearing right now over your beautiful soul and your beautiful spirit is really grave clothes.
Yes.
And it cannot inherit eternal life. It would have been foolish for Lazarus to say, "Can I keep the clothes on?" Everybody would have said, "You're nuts. You can't walk around with grave clothes on. And you can't keep your natural body. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to take off those clothes that you have on when you get your new body and your new life.
Yes.
So consider the fact of what's going on here. On the 17th of Heshvan, okay, this is the day grace ends. This must be the day that grace ends on the earth. So therefore, the rapture should happen on the 17th of Heshvan. I'm thinking of the name. Well, Carrie Oates, she's the one giving me this information. Well, she gave me the question. And then Dan Mattson put out a thing and said, hey, wait a minute. The boat wasn't fully above the earth until after 40 days of flood. So, and then it had to go up 15 furlongs or 15 cubits before it was fully up. And then Jesus had to walk 15 cubits before he could bring out the dead. And it was on the 4th of Hanukkah. And now we are December 11th. You know what I want to find out, Carissa? Chrissy, you know what I want to find out? What happens when a woman's pregnant and she gets raptured? Do they hand you the baby here or on the way up? Or I want to know. So if this happens, okay, on the 4th of Hanukkah, I'm going to be looking for you because I want to know what happens. When someone's pregnant, what happens with the baby? Because you know you can't. It's like, when do you get the baby?
Right.
I guess. I don't know.
4 minutes, Pastor.
But it's incredible to think about. We're so, I mean, believe me, the 17th of Hanukkah, at the 17th of Heshvan, I was like, that don't make any sense. But it's the beauty of having a community of people who are studying the word to come and say, hey, wait a minute, this is something you didn't look at. Kerry Oates said, Pastor Sandy, it was just a question. Did Lazarus get resurrected on the 4th day of Hanukkah? I looked at that and I went, he did. I'm like, no way. That means since the 17th of Heshvan and the flood, God counted 40 days off to make sure that it ends on Hanukkah, which hadn't been invented yet.
Right.
And so now we're in this situation where we're right in the middle of winter, and Jesus starts off the conversation by saying what? I am the door. You are the sheep. He says, the sheep belong to me. I am the door. When I call the name and leave them out, perilambano, and I take them to be a friend or a companion, he says, and he gives this whole speech about him being the door. You get the revelation, and there he is, the door. Mm. Come up here. What's he doing? He's leading them out. If he leads them out, can he lead us out without the Holy Spirit? No. So Eleazar has to be, it's time to go. So here you have this whole story in Lazarus. Man, I heard some preaching about this when I was a kid, and I'm ashamed of them.
Okay.
Because they turned this whole thing into a tithing, into a tithing message. I was like, how did that, what did that have to do with tithing? But it did. I was like, wow, they were really getting us back in, because they realized we didn't know the Bible, right?
Yep.
Crazy. This is a pure typology. Now, we've got to understand something. 40 days, 40 is the number of testing. So Jesus fasted for 40 days, and then after he went to the temple and told them about the end days. Moses went up to the mountain 40 days, and he comes back down. His face is glowing, and the people, you understand? They walked the wilderness for 40 years, and then after the 40 years, then they come out of the wilderness, right? So 40 is the time of testing. But my thing is, why would God specifically measure out the 17th of Heshvan to the 4th of Hanukkah? That's the big question today. I think we're going to find out soon. Okay? We're going to find out soon because he's going to have to come back to a place and call out a name where the figs aren't ready, but people need healing. He's got to come back to that same place that they tried to kill him. God is good.
He's awesome.
Pastor Ben, I had a dream about us, and the Lord was letting me know that what we do is life or death situations for people. Your prayers is life or death situations for people. When we as Christians stay quiet, it's almost like we're allowing the enemy to do things. So God calls us to be active. I find it hard for myself sometimes just praying, like not for other people, but for myself. But when people ask you to pray for them, what they're asking is, can you put my name in the atmosphere with and connect it to Jesus? Can you put my situation out into the atmosphere which Jesus is ruler over? Because I know that you have authority and you have his name. And I know I do too, but where two or three are praying, this thing will happen. So the activity of prayer is so important. And so the Lord was just letting me know, life or death depends on the fact that we do what we're supposed to do. You understand? It's not, and I wish I could tell you the whole dream, but it's basically God was saying, and he didn't say it's Pastor Ben's responsibility. He said, it's your responsibility and it's his responsibility. You're both responsible.
Yes.
For the life and death of people. You understand?
Amen.
Because when we're quiet and we don't speak truth, people don't know.
Right.
When we don't pray and we say, oh, well, good luck, mm-hmm. which should only the pagan, even Hebrews don't even have a word for luck. They had to invent one. So there's no such thing. So you don't tell people that. You actually go into the atmosphere. You take the name that has the authority over the atmosphere and you bring attention to it, the situation, so that in the name, whoever the general is, will dispense out help for that situation. And when you're quiet, you get nothing done. And so the dream that I had last night was the Lord just showing me a young lady. She had come back to life, and God just wanted to let us know, me and you know, you are responsible for this. And I was like, Pastor Ben, we need to repent because we need to do more. I was kind of anxious in my dream, but I realized the severity of the ministry is to save lives, because inside of your grave clothes that you're wearing now, because your grave clothes are going to go, right? You can't take it with you. Inside of that, it's a beautiful soul and personality that God is in love with. And he wants you in heaven, even though everybody says you laugh funny. Or you never understand what I'm talking about. God's like, I need that soul as part of my kingdom, right? Because you can have a lot of kids, but you like all of their personalities. And some of them are quiet, and like Israel, he talks radio like all the time. Barely get two words out of Paris, but I love both their personalities. And God's in love with our souls, and he wants those souls in heaven. And it's our responsibility to tell the truth, to get them to the next level. And the only way you get people moving is you got to incorporate prayer, teaching, prayer. You know, you have to do that because lives are on the line, okay? So I told you that because the Lord gave it to me and I wanted to let you know.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Let's get out of here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yep, that's it.
Amen. All right.
That is it. I am.